It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I guess anybody who's been a listener to the show for any length of time knows that come January, we sort of scramble and scratch for our phenology notes. It's a tough time of year to really expand. There aren't really a lot of things going on with plants out there. Though I would say if you're out for a hike, keep an eye out for the buds on the red elderberry because they offer a bit of pretty startling color this time of year. The buds on the red elderberry are fat and round and purple is all get out, and they're opposite. So if things are normal, you'll have two of these fat round buds, one on either side of the branch. And if you are still confused, it is the only plant out there with a big fat purple bud on it. So you can't really go wrong. But if you still wonder about it, snap off one of the branches. What you'll see is a thin gray bark on the outside that's kind of warty. And then just inside of that thin gray bark is a kind of a whitish sort of cream-colored wood. And then inside of that is the center or pith. And the pith has a sort of, it's very soft and it is quite red in color, like cinnamon, only, well, maybe not quite as dark as cinnamon, but definitely reddish in color. And that's the red elderberry. And it's worth checking out. I mean, it's one of those things, if you're starving for color, like a lot of us are this time of year, check out the buds on the red elderberry and then snap off a branch and look at the inside and assure yourself. I guess the other major note that comes this time of year, probably the drumming of the woodpeckers and the spring phoebe call of the chickadee. Now, we haven't heard that yet. I haven't heard that yet. And Ed Dallas, who is assiduously listening down in Deerwood, hasn't heard it either. So between the two of us, we typically what happens is that Ed, because I attribute it to the fact that he's quite a bit south of me, usually hears it first, and he always reports it in the month of December, and I always accuse him of being into the eggnog a little too heavy, and but neither of us has heard the chickadee singing phoebe yet, and while that carries a certain ominous connotation, will there be a spring? I suspect that there will be. The chickadees just haven't announced it yet, and when they do, they will start singing that phoebe song, and usually it's a nice kind of sunny, warmish day, and then they'll start to sing that song. And that song really is a result of hormonal activity inside of each chickadee, and they begin to think about breaking up the flock and finding a mate. But all of that will be very slow in developing. If you're talking about courtship, it's a long drawn out affair for the chickadee. It'll be April before they actually get around to sort of smashing the flock bond and picking one or another of their mates out of that crowd. So listen for the chickadees to start singing their phoebe songs and report it to us when you hear it, because we're always excited to know that spring is in fact on its way. Other notes this past week, got up yesterday, was it yesterday morning? Oh, no, it was January. It was New Year's Day, up pretty early. Got up about 6 o'clock, wandered around. It was easy for me because I was in bed by 10 o'clock. I'm like this friend of mine from out in Colorado. He said, I'm celebrating with Germany. I celebrate my New Year's Day with Germany. He said that way it's midnight at 4 p.m. and I can go to bed. So that's what I did. I celebrated probably with Newfoundland or maybe, I don't know, maybe Iceland, somewhere out in the mid-Atlantic, and toasted the new year and went to bed, got up early morning on Sunday, and there was a rabbit outside, a cottontail rabbit outside living the life underneath the bird feeder, eating up the seeds that were falling. You may notice, if you have cottontail rabbits like I do around your place, that some of their urine this time of year looks a little bit reddish, kind of red-brown, and that's because a lot of the stuff that they're eating causes some irritation in their bowels, and when they urinate, then they pass a little blood, and so it taints their urine just a little bit, and you can notice that if you're looking at what's happening with the cottontail rabbits. Now, we live, this northern Minnesota area, we live in the cusp of the snowshoe hare cottontail rabbit zone. And so if you are looking at a rabbit this morning, it's going to be brown. If you're looking at a hare this morning, it's going to be white. And that's the difference this time of year. If you can't tell the cottontail rabbits from the snowshoe hares, it's worse than being colorblind. It goes right to the fact that you can take color out of it. You're just blind. They're quite a bit different between the two. Lots of activities with the nuthatches, very busy at the feeders. I had a flock of American goldfinches hanging out at my thistle feeder the other day. I've been watching the varicose vein-like structures of the subnivian voles. And even this morning on my way out to the garage, there were lots of little humped-up tracks underneath that 2 or 3 inches of snow we got overnight. And the voles like that. This is a time of comfort for them because they stay warm under the snow. And for the most part, they stay hidden under the snow, so it's a pretty good deal for the voles. The snow, they like it, and it plays pretty well for them, although there is a barred owl that's been hanging around my feeder for the last couple of weeks, probably more. I mean, he obviously has residence in the area, but that bird is capable of not only seeing but also hearing those voles moving around under the snow and will quickly make a meal of one. There was a note this morning from Julie Gann from Cook, and Julie had a shrike actually take down a short-tailed shrew up at her house in the Cook area, and that was pretty exciting for the not for the shrew. Well, it might have been exciting for the shrew for a while, but it ended poorly for him, and the shrike will live to fight another day. So check those out. Looking at some of the older notes, let's see. Here's one from Joel last week. He said the cat left him a long-tailed weasel that it had killed. And so there are weasels out there, a little tough to see this time of year because they are white like the snowshoe hare, but also they're not comfortable sort of being out where everybody can see them, and so they secrete themselves when they can. Looking back on this date in 2012. I heard my first black-capped chickadees on January 3rd, 2012. A rough-legged hawk, Ed Dallas, saw one down in the Aiken area. Bohemian waxwings were in the area, cedar waxwings, American robins in 2010. In 2009... the Akeley area got several inches of new snow today. American goldfinches were seen in 2008. Notes about box elder seeds from this time of year. This is a good time of year to look at box elder and basswood seeds. Note from Ed Dallas also about a porcupine that climbed up in, he thought it might have been a basswood tree below his house. And it spent 3 days sitting up in the basswood tree, not moving. And some speculation between the two of us, porcupines are active year-round. Was this guy, you know, resting? Was he feeding? Ed was going to check when it gets light down there to see if there was any bark missing from the tree where the porcupine had been sitting. But it sat pretty still. He said it didn't move for 3 days. And at first he thought it might be a hornet's nest. And then he thought, well, maybe it's a squirrel's nest. And then he got the binoculars out and focused in on it. And he could see ears and eyes. And then he realized it was a porcupine. And oftentimes this time of year, the porcupines climb up into, well, it's odd. I've seen them in maple trees. I've seen them in oak trees. Ed now has one from a basswood. So they get out and they are active. Whether they're feeding in those trees or just resting in those trees remains to be seen. But they're certainly active this time of year. And if you're out skiing or snowshoeing and you come across a place where they are resting, spending the night in a hole in the ground, which is typical, what you will notice is a boatload of scat, really kind of like big rabbit pellets, only kind of more oval than round, and quite decomposed. You know, if you break one open, it's like looking at sawdust, but then their diet is bark, so I guess that makes sense. So that's kind of how it shakes out. As always, I encourage you to share any observations you might have, and of course go to KAXE KBXE Season Watch page on Facebook and add your photographs. There are lovely photographs there, some very beautiful things that have been captured by you, and it's a great place to share your observations and to sort of just help everybody to realize how beautiful this time of year is in northern Minnesota, and really how many things there are to look at. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.